much. Thank you, Dr. Comfort. I am glad to be here today. My wife said to me, she said, "Boy, I sure am glad you're preaching and not me." And I said, "Me too, babe." So I tell you what, though, I know that's kind of funny, but you know, some of the hottest and most fire-breathing preaching I've ever heard was from my wife. Amen? Amen. At home. So my wife and family, they're there in the back, if they will stand, and just so that the student body and the staff can know who you are. My son, Malachi, he's the oldest, and then Isabella, and then we have Isaiah over there on the left, and then Abby there. Don't let her little smile fool you. She's the pistol of the bunch. Amen? So they can be seated, and so glad to have my family with me. I thought about it, you know, the drive over. I wasn't sure exactly how early we'd have to get up, so I was back and forth about whether to bring my family or not. But, you know, Sundays, recovering from Sundays, Mondays can be rough. Amen? So anyway, Sundays are there at the church and usually kind of wore out on Mondays. But it was good to get up this morning. It kind of worked out yesterday. We didn't have a full schedule at there at the church. We actually had our picnic, and it's like probably twice a year that we don't have our Sunday night service. And so we kind of got to relax a little bit that afternoon and kind of rest up, getting to bed early. But if you don't mind turning your Bibles to James chapter 1, James chapter number 1, and we're going to look at God's Word this morning. We're going to look at what I call the ministry of patience. Ministry of patience. Ministry of patience. Patience has its own ministry in your life if you will allow it to work. Now, if you don't allow it to work, you can buck God all you want to, but I promise you, I can remember just like yesterday sitting in Pastor Camp's Greek class, and he said it this way. He said, God will never make you do His will, but He'll make you wish you had. And I can tell you that's the truth. I've spoken with young people with that same testimony. I've spoken to other folks that were at one time called of God. We have some in our church that they're not doing anything but sitting. Now, granted, they are a bit older, but Joshua, you know, Caleb, they went in the land. They were no young men when they went into the land. Caleb took the mountain. You know, folks in our church right now who say at one time God called them to missions. Listen, God doesn't change His mind. You know, God doesn't, they're somewhere along the line, they decided not to follow God's will. They decided not to follow after the Lord. Now, I know you're here because you decided to come to Bible college because you want to study. I hope and pray that you came here to finish. I hope and pray that some of you graduate here in a few days and you'll be shouting jubilee because you are glad to get finished to get on to the next step of your life. And I know that the staff here are praying for you. I just had Dr. Child shake my hand and say, "I pray for you every Friday." Man, I tell you what, that encouraged me. That put gas in my tank, amen. So James chapter 1, we're going to read God's Word. Let's stand together and read this verse together, just one verse, James chapter 1 and verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, for this fine college where I was able to study and learn. Lord, I was able to study and learn without scrutiny. I didn't feel like everybody was watching me. I didn't feel as if I had to be perfect. I felt as if I could share my heart with the staff, with the Father, with the teachers. I sat in many of their office with burdens and brokenhearted. Father God, they guided me just as a pastor would. In fact, many of them are. And so, Father, I thank you for the fine folks here. I pray, God, that you'll bless this message. Lord, may it speak to hearts. God, may it move for action on our parts, that we may allow the Holy Ghost's patience to teach us. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage here, James is writing, and I found the book of James to be an extraordinary, just awesome book to teach and preach from to teenagers. In the book of James, you have a lot of different things that are discussed that help teenagers. It talks about lust in here. And I'm telling you what, I believe with all my heart that our young people are inundated and they are absolutely surrounded by lust in our society today. It's everywhere. And went out and picked up some kids. And I mean, it was pulling teeth to get everybody in the van, get everybody ready, throw all the kids in, get in there, eat your cereal on the way. All right, and we were hurrying up so we could get to those kids and pick them up. We went over there, picked them up. I mean, you're just running full throttle. I came back in and into the church and just running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And I come down the pew, come down the aisle there, and some old lady said, she's still there, and you just got to know how to handle her. But she said to me, she said, "What's wrong with that PA system over there?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know. I just walked in the door. Yeah, hello to you too. God bless you. You know, boy, it's good to see you, you know." No, none of that. I mean, it was just, "Argh." And she said, "Listen," she said, "you need to learn how to run that thing." I was thinking to myself, "What? I've been running around here like a chicken with my head cut off, and there's a guy already up there. Why don't you take the complaint up with him? I'm busy." But you know, that was God's way of getting my attention. He used that lady and her snide remark to teach me the ministry of patience. Many a time, and I'm not saying I've learned the ministry of patience. No, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to say that. But many a time, little comments like have taught me great lessons. In fact, it's been some of the critical comments that have been made about me or my family that has taught me more about myself than the good ones. You know, if you're not careful, when that teacher gets up and steps on your toe in class and you get all huffy about what they say, "Well, I can't believe they say something like that. Don't they realize?" You better be careful. The ministry of patience is knocking on your door. It's trying to teach you a lesson. It's trying to teach you something, just like Dr. Comfort got up here and said that at one time, when I came here, I was a new evangelical. My wife was a new evangelical. She came up from the ground up in a new evangelical church. She did not know the word fundamentalism. It was funny here, just a few weeks ago, we had a visitor group come to our church, blessing. They were a blessing. Evangelist and his wife and family, and then they have their son and daughter and daughter-in-law all traveling with them. It's quite the caravan of RVs, but they... And this lady had this young lady who was married had said to my wife, she grew up in fundamentalism her whole life, and my wife said, "Well, I got saved in a new evangelical church," and this was the lady's comment: "You got saved in a new evangelical church?" Yes, folks do get saved in new evangelical churches. Amen. I mean, it's just funny how that works, and God brought us together, and really we were when God brought us together, we were really at the same place in our lives. Now, I grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church, but independent fundamental Baptist church didn't even know anything about contemporary Christian music. Insight. And I find that often that's very true in the ministry today. Pastors don't know how to answer the music issue. They don't. Boy, I'm glad for a college that teaches on music. Because, listen, you're going to be faced, you're going to have a teenager, you're going to have a mom or a dad, or maybe even somebody come to you and they're going to say, "What music is right?" You're going to have to answer that. You know, but if you leave college, you get excited and you're going to get out here and tear up the world without finishing what God started in your life, right here in this place, you're going to miss the ministry of patience. You're not going to finish 4 years here. I promise you won't finish the rest of your life in the ministry. 4 years here is nothing compared to what God's going to do in your life later on. Some of the tests you take here, they're nothing compared to what the devil will throw at you when you get out in the ministry. I don't know why, but I can remember the day that I started the ministry. It was like the devil was on my back, like I had never faced before. In fact, I can remember being at Bible college, and I can remember it being just like this. It's like a greenhouse. That's the best way I can describe it. When I was here, I felt like I was in a greenhouse. I was protected. I was guarded. There were things I didn't have to worry about music. I didn't have to worry about good preaching because I knew I was going to get that here. I didn't have to worry about the teachers going off in some area of doctrine. I was safe. I was safe. But when you get out of here, you got to worry about all those things. You got to worry about how it's going to affect your family and how the philosophy of ministry, how you need to, whether you need to stay or go. You need to think about that. You don't know everything about it when you go into a church. You don't. In fact, you won't find out a lot of things about a pastor until you've been there for a few years. You know, but even then, you're not safe because the pastor could mess up. Then what do? Over the years, I have had one man who has helped keep me thinking straight. In fact, this message came from this verse that he shared with me. Pastor Bray. He was my pastor before I left Ambassador Baptist College. And over the years, Pastor Bray and I have stayed in contact, and I call him almost on a regular basis when I'm going through a trial. And he shared this verse with me, and God spoke to my heart. Listen, ministry, the ministry of patience has a perfect work. A perfect work. The perfect work means a finished work. Let patience finish her work. Don't leave before patience is done with you. Don't leave before patience is finished completing its work in your life. When Christ, His work was complete, He said, "It is finished." Also, it's not just a finished work, but the word perfect here later on in this verse also means mature. It means mature. It's a patience that produces maturity. You know, if you will stick with your studies, you'll learn something and God will teach you something. Hey, get it? You will find that God will teach you something you never thought you'd learn. You'll find it in the classroom. You'll find it in students. You'll find it in... I remember when I first came here, there was some students. They were on the fringe. They were called the fringe group. And the bad thing was, because they were so closely related to what I grew up with, I started hanging out with them. And I thought, boy, I tell you what, I found me some friends here. And I remember sitting in Dr. Comfort's office, and I remember telling him, and it was just like it was yesterday, sitting there in that office, and I said, there was one young lady who said this. She said, "You know what, I feel more at home with the lost people at my work than I feel at college here." And I remember Dr. Comfort's words, I'll never forget them. He said these. He said, "A young lady who feels more comfortable with lost people, saved people, has a spiritual problem." Man, I tell you what, that hit me like a ton of bricks. You see, God was trying to teach me something there. God was trying to teach me something. He was trying to show me that I had gotten mixed up. My thinking had gotten off. I thought I was going to come in the office and I was going to help this group. But I found out soon after that I was wrong altogether, because that was God's Word convicting me. I walked out of there, I said, "Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? I've heard all this good preaching. Why didn't I come to that conclusion?" Because of the ministry of patience. God was trying to teach me something that I never wanted to go back on. Listen, I don't have to struggle with new evangelicalism. I don't struggle with contemporary Christian music. You know why? Because I know what it was when I was in it. It's kind of like when you're in the world, you get saved out of the world. I was listening to this young lady just this past Sunday who's mixed up in all kinds of ungodliness. She's in our youth ministry. If you think about her, pray for her. Her name is Kaylee. And she's mixed up, I mean she's mixed up in some really ungodly deeds. And she was talking to another young lady. Well, it's an old, she's about my age. And she said to this lady who has been saved out of a life of sin. And this young lady from the youth group who's living in sin says, all they talk about is getting pregnant. And I remember what that lady said. She said, you know what? Doesn't sound like they got anything better to do. Well, I thought about that lady's words. She's been saved out of a life of sin. And I thought, man, I wish I could get the two of them together and this older lady could talk to this young person and tell her what sin produces. You see, the devil, he'll tell you, no, hang out with these people. No, hang out with these rule breakers. Hang out with the rebels. Hang out with these. No, you don't. You don't need to hang out with them. You stay away from them. Listen, if you're going to hang out with them now, how are you going to serve the Lord in the ministry? I mean, you're going to be all alone. Nobody's going to be standing with you. Nobody's going to be on your side. When you stand up and you tell them what the standard is, nobody's going to be on your side. When you're standing up and telling them what God said and they're looking at you like you're crazy. Maturity in your faith. See, that's a personal walk with God. Hey, how's your personal walk right now? How is your personal walk with God? Is your personal walk with God of vital importance? Is prayer and your personal walk with God, is it a development in solitude? Or is it some kind of display for the public? You know, do you walk around here at the campus and you act like you're some kind of high priest? Come to me with all your prayer needs. I hope you don't do that. Come to me, I'll pray for you. Just like the Pharisees did. Or is your prayer life something that's done in private? You find God, and God finds you, and you meet with Him there in that place, and you and Him have sweet communion together. Is that the kind of prayer life you have? Or is it distant? Are you far from the Lord? I'm going to tell you two things that helped me stay straight right here at Ambassador. My prayer life and the chapels. My prayer life and the chapels. Listen, there was times when I would have quit. There was times when I would have left. There was times when I would have abandoned all hope because it was too hard. Remember the first few months I was here. I was born and raised in West Texas. When I came here, I was claustrophobic. I grew up on a ranch. You could see 360 degrees the horizon. And I came here. And I thought I was in a cave. These trees are hanging over me all the time. I can't see the stars. And I felt like everybody was watching me all the time when I first came. I thought, man, I never had so many rules in all my life. My mom, she would leave, you know, home for 2 or 3 days at a time. I was the oldest boy. My dad was not in the picture. And my mom would leave 2 or 3 days at a time. She was 120 miles away. And it was my job to get my brothers up. It was my job to make sure we had breakfast. It was my job to make sure that everybody was taken care of, and we took care of each other. And then Mom, when she'd come home, she'd call us about 2 hours before. She'd say, hey, listen, I'm coming home. It was a scramble. Clean the house, clean everything, make sure everybody's coming home. We were excited. And man, when I came here, I was like, we got to tell people. Heck? What? We got to tell them before we leave? Man, I that was foreign to me. Completely foreign. I mean, I left and went as I pleased. But if you let the ministry of patience have her perfect work, it'll work in your life. It'll work in your life. You know what? You know why they make you fill out those I don't remember what they're called anymore. Those CSRs. How did I forget that? You don't keep you. Now, that was a hard lesson for me to learn in school. They want to keep you accountable. Who's going to keep you accountable when you're in the ministry alone? Huh? You know what? You need to be thinking about that. You say, what do you mean, Matt? You don't have accountability when you're a pastor. If you don't have accountability, if you're some kind of high priest, if people come to you because you've got some great knowledge, listen, if you approach the ministry that way and you seclude yourself, listen, you will end your ministry in immorality. Because you'll be all alone. Don't shut yourself off. As a pastor, checks in your life. People checking on you. Checking your internet. Checking your home. Checking on you. Hey, pastor, are we going on visitation this week? Hey, pastor, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? You need to have godly men. You need to have a wife who's there with you when you're counseling young ladies. I never counsel a young lady alone. Why? Because I want to have that accountability in my life. You know, 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy. But the other thing is that you're entire. You're entire. In this verse, entire. You're complete. Entire, this word means holos or whole. Which means in every part. That means that you're perfected in every area of your life. You say, Matt, you're telling me that if I live for God, He'll make me perfect? No. He'll make me whole. Well, what does that mean? He'll fill in the gaps. With the things that you can't explain, God will fill in those gaps. You know, some youth pastors approach the ministry like this. I have to find the perfect church. I got to find the perfect pastor. I got to find the perfect congregation. When you find them, let me know. You know, some people hunt for churches the same way. They come to your church and they're looking for the perfect church, the perfect pastor. They're looking for the perfect place. Some people hunt for Bible colleges, I'm sure the same way. It's perfect. Everybody's perfect. If you'll do what God tells you to do, He'll make up the rest. He'll fill it in. He'll work it out for you. He'll do it for you. You'll be perfected in every area of your life. You know, I have some guys that I graduated with, they can't settle down. They can't settle. They're all over the country. And one fella was a friend of mine here, he's been in 3, 4, 5 ministries in the last 4 years. You know why? He's not allowing the ministry of patience to have a full effect on his life. Don't run across from Bible college to Bible college. I remember there was one guy here, when I came in and he was here with me, he's been to like 4 or 5 Bible colleges. He'll never finish. It's like he's just a perpetual student. Finish the work. There's a world out there that's dying and going to hell, young people. Listen, there's a world out there that needs you. They need you, and they need you. And if you're going to sit here and just stay in this perfect environment, you need to get out. You need to tell them that there's a Savior who wants to save them, that there's a God in heaven who loves them. You know, you'd be surprised. You would be surprised that there's people who just this message. They're in need, young people. They're in need of you. You need to finish so you can go. You need to let the ministry of patience have its perfect work so you can go. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we don't give God our hearts. But our body belongs to us. Sometimes we don't mind giving God a portion of our life. But that one thing, leave it alone, Lord. No, that's not how it works with God. You don't get to pick and choose what He wants to sanctify in your life. He wants to sanctify you wholly. He wants you down at this altar. I'll never forget one of the messages that was preached here. Preacher got up and he preached a message about his wife and how he was about to lose her. And I'll never forget that. And he said, I had to lay my wife on the altar. And man, that broke my heart. At that time, my wife and I were serious. We were about to get married. And I said, I can't imagine life without her. And I came down to this altar and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. You can have my future wife. You can have me. I'm yours. And I wept down right here at this altar and I turned it over to the Lord. And God has blessed us. We have four children. And God's blessed our home. Don't be like these folks in Acts 7:51. Stephen was preaching. He said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that young person who resists the Holy Ghost at all times. Don't do that. First of all, don't do that to yourself. Because when you resist the Holy Ghost, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your future. You're hurting your life. You're hurting your future wife or husband. You're hurting your future ministry by resisting the Holy Ghost now. You're hurting ministry years in advance. Because if you don't learn how to surrender it here, where are you going to learn to surrender it at? Who's going to preach to you when you're the one doing all the preaching? Huh? There's some times where all I want to do is hear some good preaching. I preach to the children's church downstairs. I'm not in the service. I preach to my young people. And sometimes on Sunday night, I said, praise the Lord. This is for me. I can listen to the preacher preach and I can look at my life and I can inspect me for a moment. Instead of thinking about my young people all the time, instead of thinking about what kind of issues that are right here at us. Church ministry issues. Let's read that verse one more time. James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, and entire. The last thing is wanting nothing. God taught me something when I read that verse. That in part was not me. The in part, wanting nothing. You know how you know when ministry has had her work in your life? When you want nothing. When you're happy right where God has you. You say, Matt, but you don't understand the will of God. If you're in God's will, you have happiness. We've been memorizing a verse in church. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not. These little kids, 4, 3, they're daycare kids, 2, and they're saying, the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Oh, it's precious. Precious to my ears. If they can take that word of God and it can melt and get into their hearts, and one day they can serve God because they memorized a verse. Because that verse had impact. How about you, young people? Are you blessed? Are you the blessed man? Blessed means you're happy. Happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth in sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hey, are you delighting in God today? Hey, are you happy in Jesus? Hey, did you know that you can smile and not break your face? Did you know that? Did you know you can have a good time serving God? Did you know the ministry is the best thing in the whole wide world? Man, I love serving God. Did you know that? Hey, did you know when people walk up to you, you ain't got to tell them all the bad things that happened in your life because God's going to deliver you from every single one of them? Hey, God's on the throne. Hey, the world is wicked, but darker the night, the brighter the light. Hey, do you want nothing? Do you want nothing? Are you in that place where you want nothing? Or do you have to have something to make you happy? You have to have a new position. You got to have a better boss. You got to have a better work. You got to have a better job. You got to have a better teacher. You got to have a better this, a better that. Is that what makes you happy? Oh, really? Good luck. If you'll let the ministry of patience work in your life, you'll be happy. Wanting nothing. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Is that you? Or are you already thinking about another for next year? Because just wanting nothing. Get to that place, you'll be moldable. God will have you, and God will bless you, and you'll be happy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the attention of these fine young people. Lord, I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. Really, this is the cream of the crop of the churches. These are the fine young people that have come from youth groups that are just on fire for God. But Lord, I can remember being a student. I can remember struggling in finals, wondering if I was going to pass. I can remember, Lord, the struggles that faced me socially. God, I brought this message from my heart because this is something that, Lord, you have worked on me so many times. Over the 7 years I've been there, I can't tell you, Lord, how many times I said, "Is this it? Is this the end? Are we ready to move on?" I'd say probably 1,000 times. Where's the next step, Lord? God says, "Just wait." God, I pray for these young people. I pray that you'll bless them. God, bless them abundantly. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.